From Malvern Free Presbyterian Church, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the international radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. This edition of the program comes to you from the Free Presbyterian Church in Malvern, Pennsylvania. During the next several programs, Dr. Mark Allison, minister of the Malvern Church, will be bringing a special series of messages. Here to introduce the series is Dr. Allison.
This is Mark Allison. I'd like to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we're going to look at Isaiah's prophecy, and we're going to begin our reading in chapter 55. Isaiah's prophecy, chapter 55, and we're going to read two verses out of that chapter. Beginning at verse 10, we read, "For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it." Here we have a statement about the word of the Lord. When we began these broadcasts a few months ago, we did so to contradict the word of a man who was predicting that Christ would come back on May the 21st, 2011. Now, Christ did not come back May the 21st, and so now he has pushed the prophecy back to October the 21st. This is not the first time that he has given predictions as to Christ's coming. I'm told that he predicted that Christ would come in 1978. I know he predicted that he would come in September of 1994. And when Christ did not come back on that date, he then shifted the date to another date. Now he has predicted in the year 2011 that Christ would come back. First, that he would come back May the 21st. In fact, he says he did come back spiritually. And now he's predicting that he will come back on October the 21st. Well, the problem with his predictions is that they're not according to Scripture. And yet many of his followers and those who have heard what he has said and they're not grounded in the Word of God, they think that this man is speaking for the Word of God, that he's actually giving us what God's Word says. And no matter that the Bible itself says that no man knows the day or the hour when Christ is going to return. He has been used of the devil to destroy the confidence that some would have in the Word of God. Those who have taken him seriously, those who have thought, well, this man is certainly a Bible student. He knows the Word of God. He's giving us the Word of God. He has destroyed their confidence in the Word of God. Now, for some, all he did was destroy man's confidence in himself. That is, they recognize now that he is a false prophet. But for others, they assume that he was teaching the truth. And because they assume that, they now have no confidence in the Word of God. Yet when we come to the Bible, we find that the Bible itself is a very unique book. There are prophecies given in the Word of God, and they do come to pass. We have an Old Testament where much of the prophecies concerning Christ's first coming were fulfilled, and yet there are other prophecies tied right in with that coming that are focused on His second coming, and they're yet to be fulfilled. Someone has counted over 300 prophecies that were fulfilled in the first coming of Christ. Now we have in verse 11 of Isaiah 55 this great statement about the word of the Lord. The Lord said, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it." The word of the Lord always comes to pass. It always fulfills the Lord's will. We have in the narrative concerning how the world began the clear statement that God spoke and the world came into being. In the beginning, God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. You and I can try to say, let there be light, and nothing happens. But God can say, let there be light, and there is a creation that takes place. There is energy that is formed. There is light that is formed. God is able to command the light to shine in darkness. Paul makes use of that very idea in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6, where he talks about the God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has now shined into our hearts the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Same God who commanded the light to shine in the original world commands that light to shine with spiritual salvation into the hearts and minds of those who are dead in trespasses and sins, those who have been blinded by the devil, those who are darkened in their own hearts and minds. He causes the light of the glory of God, which is found in the face of Jesus Christ. It's found in the gospel. He causes that light to shine in the heart. Now, when you go to Scripture, you find that God's Word always comes to pass. We find that in the original creation, as we have mentioned. He spoke, and it was done. And you and I are now viewing the creation of what God has made as He spoke and fashioned and made this world that we live in. But we also know that in His providence, He rules this world that He has made. He governs it, and He gives life to it. And by giving life to it, He is controlling it by the word of His power. In Hebrews chapter 1, it speaks there concerning Christ, the one who created the world, that He upholds all things by the word of His power. Here the word is going forth from Christ, and He is upholding all things. He's holding it together. He is making sure that it is ruled by God. Now that does not mean that God is the author of sin. God does use the sinful actions of men, though, to perform His will. So we find that very clearly stated concerning the work at the cross. Yes, Judas betrayed Christ, but he was doing His will, while at the same time he was fulfilling prophecy that God said would come to pass. We have the same thing when the kings took counsel together against Christ. Psalm 2 said that would come to pass, that there would be that time when the kings would come against the Lord's anointed. And yet at the same time, those kings were doing their will. Herod and Pontius Pilate were fulfilling their own lusts, their own passions, their own desires. And God was using that evil to put forward His work of salvation. And so in the original creation, we can say that God is sovereign and speaks the world into being. And when He speaks, the Word of God has effect upon the earth. And we can say now, having made the world as He rules that which He has made, when He speaks, the world must respond. He is still in control, even though men are wicked. He is powerful enough. He is wise enough to take even the wicked actions of men and use them for His own glory. When we think of the Word as being sovereign, it then becomes an apt term to refer to our Lord Jesus Christ. When John was thinking on Christ, he said this about Him in John chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Later on in verse 14, he says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Clearly, he is describing the eternal Son of God. He is describing the second person of the Godhead. And yet he uses the word in order to describe Christ. Why? Well, Christ was God's revelation to men. When God wanted to reveal Himself to mankind, He did it through the second person of the Godhead. And this one who created the ends of the earth, this one who Himself is God, this one who Himself in His person is distinct from the Father and distinct from the Son. Nevertheless, this one became a man, not setting aside His deity. He maintained His deity. He is consubstantial with the Father, to use the language of the theologians. He's 100% God. equal in power and glory with the other members of the Godhead, because there's one God, one essence, one being. But he's not only consubstantial with God, he is also consubstantial with man. That is, he has a human nature. He has a real body. He has a reasonable soul. And in that humanity, he is able then to die for the sins of his people. He's just like you. He's just like I am, apart from sin, for he had no sin. But we realize that sin was not a part of the original creation of man. And so Jesus Christ is the God-man. And as the God-man, he was revealing to mankind what God was like, what the will of God was. Oftentimes in the Old Testament, the prophet not only spoke the word of God, but he acted it out. You had Jeremiah putting a yoke on his shoulders. And with that yoke, he was indicating that the nation was going into bondage. You had Ezekiel building a small mock-up city. And then he laid on his side around that city, indicating that Jerusalem would be under siege. They were, by their very actions, reinforcing a message that they'd spoken with their lips. Well, Jesus Christ not only showed in his actions what God will is, he showed that he was indeed the incarnate God, that he was God manifest in the flesh. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word came into this world and he was unstoppable. Just as God's will be fulfilled, so the work of Christ could not be stopped. And when we come then to the New Testament, especially the four Gospels, we see there portrayed the glory of the only begotten Son as he came into this world and as he walked among men, as he performed the will of God. There were times men wanted to kill him, but they could not do so. And even when God permitted that to happen, Christ was in complete control. He was doing things to show that he was in control. For instance, when they came to arrest him, he spoke his name, I am, and they fell down backwards. Christ is the Word of God. And as the Word of God, he could not be stopped. Just as this book and its prophecies cannot be stopped. Isaiah said, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. This is the Lord being quoted in Isaiah. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Are you trusting in this book? Or are you fighting against it? I would encourage you to come and submit to the precepts of this book, especially the promises that are found in the book concerning salvation. You will find that this is a trustworthy book. It is a book that you can stake your eternal destiny upon. If we can be of help in your understanding of the book and coming to Christ, please call us at 610-993-3170. Or you can write to us, malvernfpc@yahoo.com. This is our email address, malvernfpc@yahoo.com.